sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, page 16 of your notes. 2 Peter 2, verse 11. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the promise of God, that all you have to do is confess it, and you're back in fellowship. This is your opportunity to get in fellowship and benefit from the class this evening. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we assemble ourselves together so that we can grow in grace and knowledge and be instructed in the word of truth, so that we can navigate our way through phase two and glorify you and avoid the error that is so prevalent among the masses. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. All right, this description here, we'll go to the middle of verse 10 in a description of the false teachers of the last days, which were showing up as early as the writing of this letter. This is a warning to believers and a description of these types, because verse 11 requires that we read the middle of verse 10, where they are described in these terms: daring, self-willed. They do not tremble when they revile majesties. The word angelic is added here. Okay, and I understand why they did that. Now, the contrast, verse 11. Let's think in terms of the elect angels, their attitude. Because the angels, both sides, but we'll deal with the good angels, the non-fallen ones, they observe the human race closely. They see the good and the bad. They are fully aware of it. And of course, they are perfectly righteous, and they know what's right and what's wrong. And so they observe these types. Whereas angels, we have the conjunction, hopu, where, whereas, imparting a causal sense. Whereas angels, angelos, a word that can mean an angel or a messenger. Its basic meaning is a messenger. But here we are dealing with the elect angels. The Bible has a lot to say about angels, their origin and their history and our relationship to them. Whereas angels, who are present participle of I mean, the to be verb, who are greater in might and power, who are the word greater is iskus, which means strength, and power, dunamis, two words to bring out the same idea. Do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord. All right, negative, strong negative. Do not bring, bear, Pharaoh, a reviling judgment. The word blasphemos, we get our word blasphemy, means abusive speech, insulting speech, reviling. Judgment. The word krisis means judgment or decision. Preposition, them, preposition with the word Lord. One. Now, what we are dealing with is certain types who attack the plan of God and those who are a part of it, and these are very public type individuals, they advocate all kinds of, we call them libertines, liberal extreme behavior, and their belief system is completely off the charts, wrong. The magnitude of their reckless speech is evident when Peter points out that even the elect angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a reviling judgment, accusation against them before the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. They have access to heaven. They don't get up there and say to the Lord, "You hear those guys and what they're advocating? What are we going to do about it?" They don't come up there and do that. This is an observation. The conjunction whereas is contrasting and causal. The libertines and their tribes, against all that is pure and true, stands in total contrast to the holy or elect angels who possess, of course, unmeasured zeal for God's interests and His righteousness. They are righteous as God is righteous. All of them. They are all absolutely on the same page. And they observe this activity in the human race. In your study of the doctrine of angels, you will find they are ministering servants. And when they are given directives to do something, they carry it out without a flinch. Because it comes from God, their orders, their direction. Whatever it is, they do it. Jesus said, "I could have called 2 legions of angels, hypothetically, at the cross and wiped out everybody that was there that was in opposition. It would have been a nothing." And if he'd have done it, the angels would have done it in a second. They don't have any qualms about taking people out. They have, and they will, and they continue to do so. They also are used of God to deliver. So they have all these responsibilities, and they get their marching orders, I guess, every day. They know what they're supposed to be doing. And there's different categories within them. But we're not into that. We're just dealing with angels in general who make their appearance in heaven on a regular basis. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. They're up there. And they're down here. And they hear this stuff. These people who are directly, verbally attacking the righteousness of God and so forth. The libertines and their diatribes against all that is pure anyway. These puny characters, by contrast to the might and power of angels, ought to keep their mouths shut. If they do not have anything worthwhile to say. But they proceed headlong to judgment, running their mouths and following after their lusts and trying to drag as many people into their viewpoint as they possibly can. And this has been going on through the church age. And it's at a high, high level currently. They're behind all this advocacy that's out there. These are the people who are the spokespersons for this evil that has drawn so many people into it, as we have seen things continue to slide downhill in our own country with regard to things that are basic common sense. The angels, when pronouncing judgment against them, do not resort to insults. The argument is a fortiori, arguing from the lesser to the greater. The false teachers do not hesitate to bring vituperative accusations against their superiors, angels, God, whereas the angels exercise discretion. They're not up there. They're not up there raising their voices. This is what's going on down there. Of course, God already knows it. So they're not up there venting their righteous indignation with regard to these types. They're not doing it. This is interesting. When making mention of these men in the presence of the Lord, the verse is not saying that angels do not bring up the subject of these notorious sinners. They do, they in fact do, but they temper their speech. That's the point of this verse. They temper their speech. The elect angels are sensitive beings whose indignation is aroused by what they see and hear. They couldn't help but be. They're not indifferent. They see it. They are offended by it too. They've seen it all through history. And now what's going on in our world today? Where up is down, down is up, everything's twisted and backwards. And being advocated as normal. Yet, point 10, their emotions are under control, knowing that God is in control, and that all that oppose Him will suffer shame and loss and humiliation. They'll all be brought down. Now, as history has advanced, these pundits of this type of evil have passed from the scene. Many of them are unbelievers. They're in hell. The final group are the ones today. They're going to be swept from the earth. The earth is going to be purged of these kind. You won't hear of these kind of people, I don't believe, in the millennium. You'll hear of unbelievers, but not people up on some podium or some scholar, so-called, or whatever it is. These people have invested are in the universities. Oh, the political institutions, and so forth. All the way down the academic ladder, there are these people that are promoting this junk. And those that are echoing it are the ones, they got it from them. So the angels' emotions are under control, knowing that God is in control. They have learned to be very patient. Unlike the rebels who spew forth insults against glories, and that's a whole list of things, everything that is doctrinally sound, biblical, God, His plan, His righteous people, they all the rest of it. Whether they deny the existence of the supernatural realm, then there's those that do. Whatever it is, unlike the rebels who spew forth insults against glories, bad-mouthing the plan, like I cited for you the example of the recent Pope speaking disparagingly of Jesus Christ while he sits there in that garb with a big cross around his neck. Yes, he did this. And praise Satan. There's an example. But they're all over the place. Without tremor or fear, the angels so revere the Lord that at all times in His presence, no insulting language passes their lips. They could say a lot of things. But they control their emotions with regard to this. Even though it would be on target, what they would have to say. They wouldn't say something erroneous or misrepresenting these people. They could lay it out like you couldn't believe. But they are reserved. It would be a good thing if Christians remembered that any condemnation of others are necessarily uttered before the Lord. consciousness of His presence tames the tongue. Did you know that one of the signs of maturity is a person, a believer, who can control their tongue? Is not just ready to snap off with a retort. There are times not to say anything. When you're under attack, what's the point? The person you're talking to isn't interested in the truth. They're just throwing insults. Let them do it. I've been the object of it. I've been under attack verbally. I guess the believers in this church that did this, they weren't thinking, were they? That this isn't appropriate. And I hadn't done anything of any significance that was wrong. And they appeared to forget all the doctrine they ever learned. Wanting to point out my shortcomings. What are we going to gain by that? So I just basically sat there and listened on several occasions in my office. And I didn't respond. It's not worth it. You can't reason with people that have already made up their mind. They wouldn't be convicted. We have an example. It's not in these notes. We have an example of an angel. You don't get higher than him. The archangel Michael. He seems to be on the top of the echelon of the angels. The archangel. You've heard of the angel Gabriel, a messenger angel, who brought the doctrine of Daniel's 70 weeks of years to Daniel, who brought the announcement to Mary of the impending choice of her to bear the Messiah. But Michael the archangel, when Moses died at age 120, the Bible describes his death as he had perfect vision. He had perfect health. He was 120. His ministry was over. And he was taken to a place where he died, away from the camp. And Michael and Satan showed up and were contending for the body of Moses. What would Satan want? Moses' body. Oh, to set up some kind of a shrine and some distortion that the Jews would fall into. And Satan's running his mouth. And you know what Michael says? The Lord will rebuke you. And when the Lord rebukes you, you stand rebuked. And in the twinkling of an eye, Michael grabbed that body and hid it somewhere out there. To this day, no one knows where Michael put the body of Moses. Wherever he's at out there, he'll be raised from it at the rapture. So, this is a lesson for us with regard to how we respond to those who are in opposition and antagonistic. Yes, you can witness to doctrine verbally, but with regard to these raving maniacs and people under their STAs, it's a waste of time to engage in extended reviling, it's called here. Now, they're going to get it. They will not get by with it. So here's a further description of them. But these, like unreasoning animals. But these, not able to reason, is a logos. Not able to reason. three times, Acts 25:27 and Jude 10. And then we have the word animals, zoe, of a non-human. But these, like unreasoning animals, they haven't thought this through. Born as creatures of instinct, to be captured and killed. They are animals of instinct. He's comparing them to the lower creation, animals. Born, ganao, perfect passive participle. Born, here, the word adjective, phusikos, means natural or by nature or instinctive. Creatures of instinct is our translation. What are they to be? They're to be captured and killed. To be captured, taking captive, is the accusative feminine singular noun, halosis. Halosis means to capture. It's used of taking of animals for food. One time, here, animals are taken for food. They can't figure this one out, can they? The chickens on our ranch, we're feeding them. They don't know what's going to happen, do they? They don't have a clue. All they know is, here comes my grandmother throwing food out there on the ground. And while she's doing this, and she was a real petite woman, the image of her walking out there among those chickens and grabbing them and going like this and pulling their heads off and their bodies are all bouncing around out there. We didn't have cameras and stuff back then to show you this. So we'd have a nice chicken roast on our table. They're captured. And they are killed. We're dealing with specific animals. Here, killed for food. Not just kill them for the sake of it. Born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed. The word killed is the accusative noun, phthora. Phthora means destruction, ruin, or decay. So they're compared to the animal kingdom. They don't have a clue that they're being taken care of and fed so they can be on someone's dinner table. They don't have that instinct. We all need to run. They don't look around and say, where are the others at? They don't have this ability to instinctively know this. They just want to be happy and fed and do what animals do. Reviling, where they have no knowledge. Reviling, again, is our word blasphemeo, means to, we could translate it, defame, insult, reviling, where they have no knowledge. This word have no knowledge is the present indicative of agnoeo, means to be ignorant, have no knowledge. Will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed? Okay. In the destruction, phthora, of those creatures is simply the pronoun autos of those creatures. Also, chi adjunctive, will be destroyed. Phthiro. Future, passive, indicative, looking at a future date. Peter now steps up his assault on the libertines. Two, these men, so far from possessing any modicum of restraint, live like unreasoning animals, quote unquote, at the dictates of their instincts. The adjective unreasoning occurs three times in the New Testament. Four, it is correctly translated here as unreasoning. They can't put things together and see the outcome. These men, like beasts of the field, have abandoned their rationality. Animals are excused. That's the way they are. The cattle that come running out after our pickup, out on the ranch, here we go again, when the grass isn't growing, and we're putting out a product called cake, C-A-K-E, round, square, things like that. Oh, they come running up. They see that pickup. They're just coming from all directions so they can eat, which is understandable. But they don't see the end game. They're going to go to market and be slaughtered and be a nice steak in someone's restaurant. They're unreasoning. We can't blame animals. So these men, like the beasts of the field, now the beasts of the field don't do this, but I don't want to make you think I think beasts are wrong because they don't know better. They do. They don't because how they're made. These men, like the beasts of the field, have abandoned their rationality and followed their passion. This passage is dealing with, I believe, domestic animals. Animals that we use for food rather than wild animals out here who get out of there when they see people showing up with rifles and stuff. They don't stand around and wait. Yeah, you can lure them in with food if you're out bird hunting. Set up a thing and they come to that. But the wild animals versus what we call domestic animals. They, like their counterparts in the animal kingdom, were born as creatures of instinct. This means that they have abandoned rational thought and followed an instinctive approach to living. They don't have a problem with making up stuff. They don't have a problem with spewing out stuff. They do not. What this translates into in the real world is someone who follows their own passions and self-interests without any serious consideration of a possible future where they might be held accountable by a higher power. That's the problem always. No fear of God. No thought, maybe I shouldn't go down this path. Maybe there is a day of reckoning. A day of judgment. They dismiss that. Mock it. Every time I hear one of them dying, I'm thinking, now you know, don't you? Now it's too late. Now you can think about it forever. In hell for the unbelievers. So as animals are to humans, so they are to God. Instinct, not rational thought, characterizes their approach to the question of the purpose of life. They buy into stuff, promote stuff. These type are practical atheists, if not theoretical ones. And so, like their counterparts in the animal kingdom, they will come to an end from which their instinctive approach to living cannot deliver them. But people out there in the world aren't thinking seriously about God and His plan. They just are not. But that's on another subject with people in general that are just following their instincts. What makes you happy? What makes you feel good? What entertains you? Want to get more money? Want to have fame? Yeah, I read about some of these people in their end. They got up there in their fame. A lot of them died young. Miserable. One recently did. Big pop star. I don't know who he is. 30-ish. He killed himself with some pink cocaine. Some of them are so miserable it isn't funny. When they're out of the limelight, they're lost. So they resort to drugs and other such things. Why do you think that all of them did this? To get high. Isn't their music and their career enough? There are exceptions to that. Groups that didn't do that, but they are the exception. Why don't these people think, you know, maybe the Word of God, maybe the Bible's serious. I need to look into it. Instead of just dismissing it. I've seen this approach too often. Just dismiss it. Knee-jerk dismiss it. Make fun of it. Ridicule it. Oh, you're one of those. Yeah, I'm one of those. And I have reasons, because I've reasoned through this, both biblically and otherwise. And this other stuff doesn't add up. The helicopter running around on Mars. Give me a break. I see one after another. This creature is 180 million years old. They make this stuff up, cloak it in scientific jargon, and fool the masses. Because nobody's looking at the Bible seriously. If they did, and they also looked at the things that support the Bible, the archaeology and other such things, they might change their mind and pull their horns in. But they don't do it. They just go headlong down into this. So if we're just accidents, then where's... See, that's communism liked evolutionism. Karl Marx liked what Charles Darwin promoted. He loved it because it allowed him to teach political evolution, survival of the fittest. And it's okay to kill people. It's okay to subject human populations to this type of political environment. So all kinds of things come in with this dismissing. They're natural instincts. That God gave us natural instincts so we can reason things out. So when some theory is dumped in our face, now you've all been enlightened. I don't know where you all are on this, and I don't want to know. You can tell me in private if you want to. Some have. Yeah, Jack, I was so opposed to that. Then I got in fellowship. My face wasn't red, and I wasn't yelling. And I sat down and I thought it through. Because I know what it is for some. It's their damnable pride. Maybe they were right in the beginning, and then they flipped back over here. And then... So, without any consideration of a possible future where they might be held accountable, we who are on Bible doctrine know we're going to be held accountable. We are going to appear before the judge of human history, Jesus Christ. And everything's going to be laid bare. No fakes will get by of it. Nobody. And those of us who have done it right, we're going to be in a good place. We took God seriously. We took His Word seriously. You can judge yourself. Getting to Bible class is important. It was important back in the day to a lot of people. It still ought to be important to get under face-to-face teaching and right pastor. Somebody called me up from the past, recent past. Jack, you did such great things for me. I believe in 99% of what you taught. But then you run off and follow another pastor. Why don't you come back? I'm so good. Didn't make sense. So it was not encouraging to say how great and how much I appreciate you. I was not encouraged by that. Because there was no application on this person's part of the simple, I made a huge mistake, I'm back on track. So as animals are to humans, domestic animals, so they are to God. Instinct, not rational thought, characterizes their approach to the question of the purpose of life. 11. These types are practical atheists, if not theoretical. So like their counterparts in the animal kingdom, they will come to an end which their instinctive approach to living cannot deliver them. A rational animal that is fed and cared for would soon realize what's up and try to avert their captors. Go on a hunger strike, maybe. I was in 4-H, and do they still have 4-H? I was in 4-H, and I raised a Hereford and a Angus. That I got his back this wide, fed him food, shampooed him, led him around, gave him a name. His name was Darcy, the Angus. But I and won a purple medal ribbon with him up there. But then I had to give him up because they're going to take him off to market and slaughter him, and I cried. See, so their use of their standard of ridicule. That didn't sound right. They use as their standard of ridicule Christianity. Whether they call it that or not. Christian morals. Christian principles. And we see it today with regard to the sexual side of things. With all this insanity. All this advocacy of the LGBT. We can make another one tomorrow. That is not after the standard of sound doctrine. These teachers cast their ridicule at what they have never come to understand. Their version of things is either something they picked up from other heretics or pure invention. Point 40. This observation, reviving where they have no knowledge, is perhaps a dig at their pretensions to superior knowledge. Intellectuals. They got a degree at Harvard. Harvard was founded as a college to train men for the ministry in the early history. You wouldn't even recognize it now. The activism, all the junk promoted there. And then they charge you an arm and a leg to go there. So you can be indoctrinated and go off in the world and be a flaming liberal or whatever you are. The whole educational system, if things were done right, needs to be revamped and rethought. All of it. Now, at least when I was a young man in high school and so forth, we had penmanship. We had English literature. We had how to write sentences. We had, I even had Latin. What good is that going to do you? Well, we had it. French, Latin. But then we had, biology, but we had to throw in all the evolutionary mess. Earth science. All that. The system had already been corrupted with that mess. I saw an interview with a 100-year-old lady. She says it was a year or two ago. That means she was born like 1924. She was like 100 years old. She was just spry as she could be. She said, "Yeah, I was in a high school in Massachusetts. They taught flat earth." And she brought out later that she was a Christian. She said, "I never bought that stuff." Well, good for her. These men are supremely guilty of the sin of intellectual dishonesty. These types tend to be densely ignorant about the things at which they direct their blasphemy. 43, to assault any true doctrine, glories, is to be guilty of the sin of blasphemy, slander. 44, what will be the end of these men? At the end of this verse, and in verse 13a, Peter speaks to this question. The false teachers will perish with the animals they imitate. But at least the animal just dies. They go on in torment in hell for all the unbelievers. That's where they are. My expression, they hit the wall. The Greek here is of interest. The phrase features the verb phthiro, to be corrupt, depraved, destroyed, perish, and a cognate noun, phthora, decay or destruction. Peter is not speaking of their spiritual corruption since he makes a comparison with animals. He is speaking of their physical destruction. This is a different way where it's used. If any man destroys the temple of God, he's not talking about the temple in Jerusalem. He's talking about your human body. You defile that temple by pandering to STA things and not recognizing it and dealing with it. If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. That's the sin unto death for the believer. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. So believers who are running amok under their STAs, whatever the STA activity is or activities are, and don't pull their horns in, God's going to destroy your temple. He might not do it in a minute. He might do it piece by piece. So you better, we all need to continually examine ourselves to see that we are not constantly defiling the temple of God through sin. Yes, you have rebound. But if you just keep doing the same thing at the same pace, God will destroy your temple. And you'll go to heaven. So look at your life closely and see if it meets approval with the standard of the Bible, the Word of God. Your associations, the way you treat others, and yourself. In other places, the verb is clearly used in the sense, should be in the sense of corruption, as per those verses. It's of special interest in Jude 10, which this verse speaks to the moral and spiritual corruption of the false teachers. Phthora is featured by Peter in this letter three times here, nine times in the New Testament. The verb also occurs nine times in the New Testament, but only here by Peter. So two times Peter uses the noun in the sense of corruption, and one time of the extended meaning, destruction. They will be destroyed. This is a good example of how words take on meaning according to the context in which they are found. The translation following the Greek word order is in the destruction of these creatures. They will also be destroyed. Animals are no match for the higher creation, Homo sapien. We find a way. No matter how big and bad they are, we found a way to control them and put them in a zoo or whatever we do. It's fascinating. I saw a thing where this guy, he had taken this female lion and nurtured her back to health because she was in a zoo and she was skin and bones. They abused her and feed her right. He got her back to normal. And he's standing, he's a pretty tall guy. And she's got both of her front legs around his shoulder like that, hugging him. It was funny, I thought. Sometimes animals have more instincts in the right way than humans, obviously. Animals are used for food and clothing. And there isn't anything these unreasoning creatures have been able to do about it. Is this phrase prophetic? We'll pick this up next time. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.